So within Proverbs chapter 9, we've considered pretty much the first 12 verses of the chapter. The previous chapter focused on Solomon making wisdom as a character, as a what I've been calling Lady Wisdom, because she is presented as a she. In the previous chapter, we talked about how she cries out in places where people are, calling as many people as she can to her, so that those who are simple and lack understanding can grow in wisdom and understanding. She talks about being with the Lord in the beginning of all things, that the Lord possessed wisdom during creation. She talks about the blessing of listening to wisdom, of obtaining favor from the Lord, and how those who sin against wisdom wrongs their own soul. Those that go against wisdom, they do it to their own detriment. Now getting into chapter 9, Solomon begins again by showing this character of wisdom. In the first few verses, we see that she has prepared her home. She's built her house. She has hewn out her seven pillars. She has prepared a place and has slaughtered meat, has mixed wine, and is calling people to come to this feast. Whoever is simple, let him turn in here. As for he who lacks understanding, come, eat of my bread, drink of the wine I have mixed. Forsake foolishness and live. She talks about not correcting a scoffer, lest he hate you. But if you rebuke a wise man, he will love you. Give instruction to a wise man, he will be wiser still. She speaks about how the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom, and the knowledge of the Holy One is understanding. And she says that by her, your days will be multiplied. By wisdom, your days will be multiplied. Years of your life will be added to you. And then in contrast to this Lady Wisdom, we've been calling her, this woman we know as Wisdom, we then enter into verses 13 through 17, which talks about the competition. Let's go ahead and just read those verses again before we begin. Proverbs 9, verse 13 through 18 says that a foolish woman is clamorous. She is simple and knows nothing, for she sits at the door of her house, on a seat by the highest places of the city, to call to those who pass by, who go straight on their way. Whoever is simple, let him turn in here. And as for him who lacks understanding, she says to him, stolen water is sweet, and bread eaten in secret is pleasant. But he does not know that the dead are there, that her guests are in the depths of hell. So we see that the words of Lady Wisdom have ended, and Solomon finished this chapter with these five verses that pretty much represent everything opposite of what wisdom has been saying, everything opposite of the call that wisdom has been making. Solomon describes the foolish woman as clamorous. You may have a version that says loud or boisterous in the Hebrew word. In the Hebrew, this is the same word that Solomon used in chapter 7 to describe the harlot. She's described as simple, this woman here in chapter 9. She is described as simple and knowing nothing. Your version may say naive and knows nothing, or even seductive and knows nothing, with simple and naive being more accurate to the Hebrew word. But with what we'll see in a minute, You can see why the translators that said seductress chose that word. Where is she at right now, according to Solomon? Same place that Lady Wisdom is. But she's also described as being at the door of her house. This is what it said at first. For she sits at the door of her house, as opposed to Lady Wisdom, who is out and about, who has sent maidens out and about to try to call others to her, to bring them to her feast. The foolish woman is not making all that much effort. And the fruits that she says that she wants to give, in a manner of speaking, represent that. But we'll talk about that more in a little bit. And to what Sue was just saying, this is, we also see that she is on a seat by the highest places of the city. And this is exactly where Wisdom is seen at the end of verse 3. She cries out from the highest places of the city. Wisdom and the foolish woman, they are in direct competition against one another, calling others to them. Who were they calling? Who? Simple and lack sense. Does that sound familiar? She's calling the same target audience as well. And what is she saying to them? Stolen water is sweet. Bread eating in secret is pleasant. Give in to your lusts. Give in to your desire. This is why I believe certain translations call her the seductress. This is seduction right here. This is temptation to engage in sinfulness, namely stealing and secrecy, it seems. Embrace. Embrace it. Engage in whatever your fleshly desire is. Call is also completely opposite from what Wisdom is saying. Wisdom calls having prepared a feast. The foolish woman calls with stolen bread and water. What does that tell you about their fruits, if you will? And I use that term, their fruits. Well, I'll explain a lot later on after our questions this morning. Beg your pardon? Didn't earn them? Very good comments, all of you. Very good points are being made all around. And I'll add to that with my own thoughts about this. I see that the woman, Lady Wisdom, what she has to offer is far better than what the foolish woman has to offer. I mean, look back at the feast she has prepared in verse 2. She has slaughtered her meat. She has mixed her wine, furnished her table. This is, like I was saying earlier, something that was prepared, something that was thought out, something that was planned. And it was for the benefit of those she was calling. And what they are going to receive is worthwhile. Meanwhile, what the foolish woman has to offer, far less than what Lady Wisdom had to offer. However, like was being said a minute ago, it's immediate. It's immediate gratification. What is gained by dishonest and immoral means may immediately fulfill a desire, but in reality does nothing at all by comparison to what can be achieved through righteous means. Go ahead, Ms. Carla. If I could sum all that up, battle of flesh versus spirit that is ongoing every day of our lives. We can satisfy the flesh. We can get the immediate thrill, the immediate desire taken over. But what's right, what's moral, what's wise is being ignored to do that. Let's place more value on what is right, what is moral, what is wise, instead of what is immediate. With wisdom, since it comes from God, it means it can only be gained with honesty and morality and will truly fulfill a person. Not like what the foolish woman has to offer. That's immediate gratification, and you're going to be in wanting after you've taken. And then you want to take again, and then you want to take again, and then you want to take again. Never. Never filled up. Matter of fact, part of my notes. Like all sins, what the foolish woman is promoting is meant to fill what I'll call an unfillable hole. Sin is nothing but a placeholder. That's something I've come to figure out, is sin is nothing but a placeholder and is a thing that masquerades as satisfaction and fulfillment, when in reality it does nothing and only leads to more sin. You're never satisfied in sin. Not enough. Never enough. That's sin in a nutshell. Yes, ma'am.
Mm.
you say that. No, not at all. I was going to say, you say that, and it just makes me think, my mental image for whenever it says that the foolish woman is outside of her house, I just imagine this rundown shack. Whether or not that's accurate to the times or not is beside my mental imagination, but regardless, it's just, I imagine this rundown place, this place where it's, ugh. Make a fair point there, Carla. Attracting, yeah. That's a fair point. I like that. That's a great comparison. I never looked at that verse that way, but I appreciate that thought because that's one verse I love. And it just, you know, reminds me of the great peace we have with God. And tying it into this, what God has to offer is greater. What God has to offer will always be greater. So, sin is nothing but a placeholder that masquerades as satisfaction and fulfillment, but it's nothing. It just leads to more sin. And really, kind of what we just talked about, only God can truly fulfill a person. His wisdom, His love, His salvation, not sin, not everything that's opposite of Him. What does Solomon say is in the foolish woman's place? Well, verse 18 of Proverbs chapter 9 says, "He does not know that the dead are there, that her guests are in the depths of hell." So now that rundown shack, I imagine a basement area full of skeletons. Really though, jokes aside, the dead are there, Solomon says. Her guests are in the depths of hell, or more accurately translated, Sheol, the place of death, place of the dead. The same fate that is mentioned for those who follow after the seductress, as seen in Proverbs chapter 2 and verse 18, where Solomon says, in regard to the immoral woman, the seductress, he says, her house leads to death and her paths to the dead. And as well, he also uses this analogy for the harlot in Proverbs 7, verse 27, saying her house is the way to hell. Again, Sheol, descending to the chambers of death. Bottom line is, following after sin, following after foolishness and foolish gain and foolish desires that are contrary to God, contrary to His will, that only leads to death. Wisdom and reverence. With that, with wisdom, with reverence, one will never take this path, but will make wise decisions and not be swayed by the seduction of foolishness and sin. Both physical and spiritual, as Ms. Carla's saying. That's the type of death. Any other comments or questions before we get into our text questions? Ready. Getting into our Proverbs chapter 9 questions. We start off with question number one. What has wisdom done? Perfect. Verses 1 and 2. Wisdom has built her house. She has hewn out her seven pillars. She has slaughtered her meat. She has mixed her wine. She has also furnished her table, preparing this place to stay. Not literally speaking, but rather those who want to acquire wisdom, who want to grow in wisdom and be wise, can seek and find it and remain within wisdom. Question number 2. From where does wisdom call? The highest places. It says that she sent out her maidens as well. Verse 3, Proverbs chapter 9, verse 3. She has sent out her maidens. She cries out from the highest places of the city. Wisdom prepared the feast, as we saw in the previous verses. And now she sends her maidens, and she herself even cries out from the high places. She wants your attention. Wisdom wants to be yours and can be yours. If you listen to her, go to her and get godly wisdom. Question number 3, who does wisdom call out to? Yep. Proverbs 9, verse 4, she calls the simple and those who lack understanding. Calling those who are naive, who are without direction or foolish. Calling those who lack understanding, in need of understanding, in need of developing the inner man. Question number 4, what is the call that she makes to them? Whoever is simple, let him turn in here. And as for him who lacks understanding, she says to him, come, eat of my bread and drink of the wine I have mixed. Forsake foolishness and live, and go in the way of understanding. Come. Come eat of my bread. Come drink of the wine I have mixed. Saying all these things, I have prepared them for your benefit. All you have to do is come and get it. Come to wisdom. Go after wisdom. Get wisdom and understanding, as Solomon quotes in another passage. Wisdom isn't some magical force that comes upon you. You need to go after it. Seek it. Acquire it. Exactly. It's right there for the taking. That's why Lady Wisdom is out there. Her maidens are out there. Go get people, simple and naive. Bring them. Come on in here. Question number 5, what is the effect of a rebuke towards the scoffer? Pardon? Hate you? Hurt somebody else over here? Abuse and injury? I guess that they're really violent, but yeah. Shame? Proverbs 9, verses 7 and 8, it says, he who corrects a scoffer gets shame for himself, and he who rebukes a wicked man only harms himself. Do not correct the scoffer, lest he hate you. And which leads right into question number 6. What is the effect of a rebuke towards the wise? He'll love you. Rebuke a wise man and he will love you. Verse 8. Give instruction to a wise man and he will be still wiser. Teach a just man and he will increase in learning. Verse 9. Major difference between the two. One party is without wisdom but can learn, while the other party is already wise in their own eyes. A scoffer is not someone who is open to godly wisdom because they think they already have wisdom. And so harden their hearts toward God. Wicked and scoffers will not learn godly wisdom. The wise and just will gain more wisdom and instruction. I believe we talked about this on Wednesday, 2 Wednesdays ago. When we talked about it, I made mention of how wisdom is about morality and not just intellect as well. The scoffers think he's wise because he's academically smart. He's intellectual. But a godly person is wise. because he lives righteously. If you rebuke a wise man, he will love you. Give instruction to him, he will be wiser still. Teach a just man, he will increase in learning. He who wants to learn more, he wants to learn more. He wants to be righteous. Question 7, what is the beginning of wisdom? The fear of the Lord. And what is understanding? Knowledge of the Holy One. Proverbs 9, verse 10. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom, and the knowledge of the Holy One is understanding. Wisdom starts with the fear of the Lord. That being what? Revere God. There we go. Reverence towards God. Without properly revering God, there can be no wisdom. Reverence towards God. Coming to know God, what He desires, what He wills, what He expects of us. That will bring us to wisdom. That will bring us to understanding of Him. We can obtain all the knowledge and worldly intellect that there is, yet it would mean nothing if we have no reverence or godly wisdom. Understanding who He is and what He expects of us cannot exist without a knowledge of Him based on the wisdom and proof He provides in the Word. Question 8. What does wisdom say will happen because of her? Your days will be multiplied and years of life will be added to you, Proverbs 9, verses 11 and 12. For by me your days will be multiplied, and years of life will be added to you. If you're wise, you're wise for yourself, and if you scoff, you will bear it alone. Godly wisdom goes with us through our lives. Godly wisdom is what brings us to a knowledge of Him, a desire to act with wisdom and reverence toward Him. It is this godly wisdom that will add to our lives because it will allow us to look at our lives and spend our time wisely, thus adding back to your life time that would otherwise be wasted on useless activities and useless goals. It also adds to your life in the sense that godly wisdom is more amazing and more profound than earthly wisdom. Ultimately, it adds to your life because it gives access to eternal life through the ability to understand what has been given to us in God's will, and furthermore, the will and ability to obey and act on it. In obedience through wisdom and reverence, one will live their lives well-pleasing to God and inherit eternal life one day. Having wisdom is not a detriment, but a blessing, and changes the way we view life. Having wisdom keeps God at the forefront of our lives. Having wisdom will all around benefit you and your life and gives you answer to life's troubles. Question 9, how does Solomon describe the foolish woman? Loud. Clamorous. Attentious. I'm sorry, I'm not understanding. Untentious. Oh, I did hear you right. Contentious. Yes. I heard you right the first time. I don't know why I questioned myself. Anyway, Proverbs 9:13, a foolish woman is clamorous. She is simple and knows nothing. Solomon describes the foolish woman as clamorous. Your version, again, may say loud or boisterous. Described as simple or knowing nothing. Your version may say naive or knows nothing, or seductive and knows nothing. All these apply because of what we see from her. Question 10. Outward expression of an inner unrest. I'm writing that down. That's a sermon idea if I've ever heard one. Outer what now? A of inner unrest. Bingo. Now, question 10. Where is the foolish woman? Door. Perfect. Excellent. That was the next question. What is the significance about this location? Sits at the door of her house on a seat by the highest places. She sat at the door of her house. She doesn't give a lot of effort. Invites guests. Does not invite guests formally. She sits at the house trying to get those that pass by to come in. No effort. But she's also in the highest places. Exactly where wisdom is calling out to. Making wisdom and the foolish woman in direct competition against one another. Yikes, I'm running out of time. To whom is she calling? Question 11. Simple. Whoever's simple, let them turn in here. Whoever passes by. But she's making the same call verbally to, she's making a call to the same people wisdom wants, the simple and those that lack understanding. Whoever is simple, let him turn in here. And as for him who lacks understanding, she says to him. And what is the call she makes to them? Well, I would say that is the opposite of what wisdom. Right. She's still calling, actively calling to come. But again, we see her fruits. What she offers is not as good. Question 13, what does Solomon say about her place? The dead are there. And I gave you all a very horrifying image of what that should look like. Any other thoughts or comments or questions? That's a very good comment there. And hold on, because I have something written down. Basically, kind of what Celeste was saying to a degree, but we see how the fact that wisdom and the foolish woman are in the same place, calling the same people, speaks to how people always have a choice. How does one know how to make the right choice? I believe it goes back to the statement we made previously about how wisdom isn't just about intellect, but about morality. A person who is intellectually smart but with no moral compass will find ways to take advantage of people, take advantage of the systems, get away with it, sin and get away with it. And as Celeste was saying, get the basic understanding, or not even the correct understanding, and be okay with that. Person may not be intellectually smart, but if he has a good moral basis, wants wisdom, wants understanding, this person is going to value application and righteous action. And furthermore, sometimes those foolish people can still fool us if we're not careful, which reminds me of a couple of New Testament teachings. Namely, you will know them by their fruits, as Jesus said. You will know people by their fruits. Be aware of the kind of fruits that people are presenting. John says, test every spirit to see if they're from God. Foolish woman was not secretive. She was out in the same place, calling the same people. But the call itself was the opposite. So we need to make sure we listen, we test, we act last, and act with wisdom. Because again, as Solomon points out, the foolish woman's house leads to death. Wisdom is open and honest. And what she offers is greater. her call is for the better. Her fruits are for the better. Come, she says, get wisdom and get understanding, as David has told Solomon. Yes, ma'am. I believe. Well, one thing is, it goes back to the word wisdom itself is actually a feminine noun in the Hebrew language. So I think that is one thing that majorly goes into it and creates the, Solomon is being poetic. He creates this character to show how great and awesome wisdom is. And then in contrast, here's another woman. Opposite woman. Absolutely, absolutely. And before I let y'all go, talk about the future of the class for a minute. This coming Wednesday, we'll have a Bible class. I want to do a review of the first 9 chapters. That may take up a couple of class periods. But I know for sure Wednesday we're going to do basically a review of the first 9 chapters. Next Sunday, no Bible class. Gospel meeting with Wilson Adams begins. We'll have no Wednesday Bible class that week. Once we get done with our review and are back to normal, we're going to be talking about Proverbs chapter 30. Because it is a little more self-contained and uniform rather than chapters 10 through 29, which will be a more topical study. We'll cover 30 and 31 first after our review, and then we'll talk topical Proverbs study, chapters 10 through 29. And I think that was all I was going to tell you. So, now you're dismissed. Thank you all for your comments and questions. It was a very good class period.